Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Yesterday on the Beacon Broadcast, we talked about the marvelous book called the Bible. That's really not what I had started out to talk about, because as you know, if you follow this broadcast, we have been working our way through the 19 listed manifestations of human depravity in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And coming to item number 12, translated in my Bible, without self-control, we have been camping down a bit, because this one, I think, is a bit more elusive than some of the others, and therefore deserves, and I might even say demands, a bit more consideration by the people of God. But in mentioning that in my Bible it is translated without self-control, but in the old original King James Version, and I use the New King James, as you probably realize, but in the original King James Version it is translated incontinent, one word, rather than two words, and one of them a hyphenated word in my translation, without self-control, self-control being a hyphenated word. Maybe you could say that's three words, but one word instead of two or three, as in my translation, which indicates a couple of things. Number one, that incontinent is the most concise translation. And I'm sure the translators in every case tried to find that one word which would translate the one Greek word. You have one Greek word, nice to be able to put it into one English word. And the original King James did that, incontinent. But the problem is, as you know, that that word has a very different meaning to us today. In fact, the most common meaning is really way off the mark, so far off the mark, that another translation had to be found. And apparently there was no one-word translation which would work. And so we have this wordier translation, without self-control, which communicates the concept accurately. I'm tempted to say perfectly, though I'm not convinced that there ever is such a thing as a perfect translation. And here I go again, talking about translations instead of talking about this particular text. But maybe that's the lesson that God wants us to take from this, because there's so much confusion and misunderstanding about the whole translation issue. And many people don't realize that translation is not a mathematical science. That's the problem. Many people don't realize that. And you would if you gave any serious study to any other language than English. Oh, I wish that we still required a foreign language for high school translation, as was common in the past, and some places are returning to it now. I can't remember if it's required again in North Carolina or not. Somebody help me with that. I don't remember. But the school that I graduated from in South Carolina required that. I don't know if that was a state requirement or just a school requirement, but nobody graduated from that high school without taking a foreign language. In fact, I took 4 years of a foreign language, and that was all required of me because I started in seventh grade, and everybody in seventh and eighth grade took French. And then in high school, you had to have 2 years of a foreign language. The junior high experience didn't count on the high school transcript. That was just sort of a foundational extra that was helpful but was not required. And the way that particular school did it, anyone who took junior high French was required to take French as their language. So I had to take 2 years of high school French in order to graduate, whereas others could choose French or Spanish or Latin. They were still teaching Latin in that school, and I would have probably, well, I don't know if I would have taken Latin or not. That's hard to say, but I didn't have a choice. I took French. And the French that they taught to those who had junior high French was a little bit different than the French they taught to people who did not have that background. So even though I didn't get, I don't know why I'm going into all of this, but even though I didn't get a true four-year course in French, it wasn't the equivalent of 4 years of high school French, it was more than the normal 2 years of high school French. It was a little more advanced than that. What's all that to say? That was very helpful to me, and particularly when I got into that last year where we were doing translation work, where we were actually having to take an English paragraph and translate it into French, and take French literature and translate it into English. Very instructive. Very enlightening. Do I remember it? No. Like anything else, if you don't use it, you lose it. And since I didn't use French, I never went to a French-speaking country, except for a very brief visit. But I never lived in a French-speaking country, never ministered among French-speaking people. I never really used my French anymore, and little by little it got away from me, though it was very helpful to have studied that for a variety of things. Number one, that helped me in studying New Testament Greek. Having had a foreign language background was tremendously helpful. And number two, it helped me understand a little bit about translation and to realize that it is very difficult to translate one, in this case, what we're talking about, the Greek New Testament, one Greek word into one English word. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Translation is not mathematical precision. Sometimes people think that it's just as simple as plugging it in. 2 + 2 = 4. And you take the Greek word and you find the exactly equivalent English word, and that's the one you should use. And if you do, you have a literal translation. And if you don't, you don't have a literal translation, and what we want is a literal translation. Yes, what we want is a literal translation, but in all honesty, there really is no such thing as a perfectly literal, exact translation. And if you had one, you wouldn't like it. There's no translation that is a strictly literal translation. If you want to see a closer equivalent to a strictly literal translation, get a Greek, a bilingual Greek Testament that has the Greek on one line and the English translation underneath it, and that'll show you what comes close to a literal translation, as close as it's possible to come. It's still not possible because of the differences in word definitions that I talked about earlier. Many times there just is no word in the other language. There's a host language and receptor language, and there is no one word in the receptor language that is the exact equivalent of the one in the other language. And so there's no such thing. But you see, we're even talking about differences in word order. Different languages have different ways of putting together subjects and verbs and direct objects and prepositional phrases, and they are done in one way in one language and another way in another language. And if you put this together literally, word for word, in the word order, in which it's found in Greek, it would be almost impossible to understand in English. And it would be very awkward to read, particularly in public reading. It just, you talk about It would sound like a foreign language. Even though it was English, it would sound like a foreign language. So those who are skilled in translating from one language to another, who know both languages well enough to be comfortable, literary, highly literary in both languages, are a wonderful gift. They're a wonderful gift to the world in whatever area they are translating, and when it comes to the Bible, they're a wonderful gift to the church. And it's wonderful that we can update our translation from time to time. We want one as accurate as possible, but we need one in understandable English. That's the whole purpose of translation. The original King James translators desired to put the King James translation into the common, ordinary, understandable English of their day. And they did. But it doesn't sound like the common, ordinary, understandable English of our day. It sounds like high Elizabethan English, sort of like Shakespeare, something like that. It doesn't sound like common, ordinary, everyday English today, but it did when it was translated. But you see, nothing wrong with the translation, but the English has changed. That's the reality. The English has changed, as all languages do. The French, I mentioned French earlier, now I'm devoted a whole nother broadcast to the issue of translations, but the French have a language academy in France, and all changes in their language, all words added to their official dictionary and so forth, have to be approved by the academy, and the purpose for that is to try to keep the French language from changing as much as possible, but even they haven't been able to do that. Languages change. Languages evolve. Languages are not static. That's why nobody speaks Latin anymore. It died. If there aren't living people who are taking a language and using it and breathing life into it and changing it, not because they're setting out deliberately to do so, but just because they're using it in modern to them, whatever era they're in, it's modern to them, settings and situations, if that doesn't happen, language dies. So that's why, for example, we don't have, or haven't had, Hebrew spoken for many, many years. Now, it's actually been revived, but it died. Now it's successfully been revived, and it is being spoken again, but for a long time it wasn't. Languages change. And so, if the King James translators were alive and translating today, they would not produce another King James Bible. It wouldn't sound like the King James Bible. What would it sound like? Probably something like the New King James. So, I'm done now talking about Bible translations, but I hope that's helpful. It's very important. Everything we know about God, everything we know about spiritual truth, comes from the Bible. And we need to understand something about the nature of this book and not be distracted by some well-meaning but misinformed things that are commonly thought today. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.